Support by Anchorage, Alaska. From the Coastal Trail to Kincaid Park, Flattop, Powerline Pass, and more. There are plenty of places for a weekend hike or an exciting mountain biking excursion. Exploring your home state is the COVID-safe way to enjoy the summer.
Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. The TV comedy Reservation Dogs is about to be released on FX on Hulu. It's a highly anticipated moment, especially for those of us who keep an eye out for projects with indigenous talent. The half-hour show focuses mainly on four teenagers, but there's a parade of characters that swirl around them. When we go live, we'll get insights into this series and what it took to get here. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Mary Simon has become the first Indigenous leader to be sworn in as Canada's Governor General. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, a ceremony took place in Ottawa on Monday.
The 73-year-old Simon, a prominent Inuk leader and former ambassador, has held several key roles in promoting Inuit culture. She has also been a social, environmental, and human rights advocate and negotiator. She now becomes Canada's 30th Governor General, representing Queen Elizabeth as head of state.
Where we gather here today is of enormous significance to me. 39 years ago, when this was the Government Conference Center, I worked with other Indigenous leaders and First Ministers to have our rights affirmed in the Constitution of Canada. That moment made this one possible.
In her first comments as Governor General, Simon talked about reconciliation for Canada's Indigenous people, the urgent crisis of climate change and its impacts, and pledged to be an advocate for equality and mental health. She said she would strive to hold together the tension of the past with the promise of the future in a wise and thoughtful way. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said he expects Simon to use her unique experience and perspective to help steer Canada's future.
This is a big place. This is a diverse place. And so we need people like Ms. Simon, because we need people who build bridges and bring us together.
Simon also becomes the commander of Canada's armed forces, will grant royal assent so bills can become law. She will also play a key role in minority governments when it comes to issues of confidence and the calling of elections. She is expected to serve for 5 years. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The last stop by Lemmy Carvers on their way to Washington, D.C. is in Michigan Tuesday. They've been on a journey with a totem pole, raising awareness of Indigenous issues and sacred site protection from development. Line 5 pipelines run under the Straits of Mackinac and have spilled oil. Bay Mills Indian Community Executive Council President Whitney Gravel says they rely on the Straits for commercial and subsistence fishing.
Our Anishinaabe teachings, our creation stories, our history here are all tied to the Straits area. It is literally one of the centerpieces for cultural contact and interaction for thousands of years.
Gravel says treaty rights are put at risk by Line 5, and her community has been engaged in efforts for years against the pipelines, in legislative and policy arenas, and on a grassroots level.
Our tribal citizens have been extremely active and involved in these grassroots organized movements in order to raise awareness not only about Line 5, but on the numerous effects that we're seeing from climate change, pollution, or other environmental degradation across the state of Michigan.
The totem stopping in Michigan's Upper Peninsula before heading to Washington, D.C., where a rally is planned on the National Mall. The chief of Oregon's Coquille Indian tribe has died. Dawn Ivey had been battling cancer for the past 7 months before passing away at the age of 70 last week. Forest scientist Bob Zyback says Ivey was a tribal scholar and the two had worked on projects together.
We worked mostly on historical materials related to the Coquille tribe, and his legacy will be the tribe's history and his efforts to assemble that.
Coquille Tribal Chair Brenda Mead called Ivy a source of wisdom and kindness for his people. Ivy served as chief since 2014. A memorial service is planned in September. A special election will be held to choose his successor. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination is provided by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who support this show. Info at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus. Support by BNSF Railway, proudly supporting the nation's economy by moving the goods that feed, supply, and power communities across the country. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood coming to you live from my homelands, Ashirwitui. Bear, Alora Cheese, and Willie Jack are the names of the protagonists in the upcoming TV series Reservation Dogs. But the list of characters doesn't stop there. The new show on FX on Hulu features a long list of notable personalities that move in and out of the scenes of each half-hour episode. And you'll see a number of familiar faces as well. And the series is co-created by Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi, and they managed the film film the series on location in Oklahoma during the pandemic. And next month, it debuts. And there's a lot to cheer about with this production, not least of which is a series about Native characters overseen by Native show creators. And it is a creative and funny take on Native life. And we're going to hear from some of those characters this hour and get some behind-the-scenes insights. So if you have something to add, maybe you have had a chance to catch a screening, Reservation Dogs, maybe you've seen a billboard, maybe your family member is in the film, or just that place you love in Oklahoma is being spotlighted, we sure hope you will dial in. And just hearing that there is another project out there that is Native-led, giving people more insight as to who we are in a contemporary sense, we sure hope you'll dial in and share your thoughts. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848 is the number. I caught up with Seminole and Creek Reservation Dog showrunner Sterling Harjo, and here is some of how he describes where this project is launching from. You know, I know there are a lot of Native filmmakers and people who fall on all sides of the camera who are trying to bring an accurate portrayal of our Native nations today. And you are giving us a different portrayal, still accurate, but I think we're going in a whole other layer into our everyday lives. And tell me about that.
Well, I think people have been scared to tell the real story about who we are because, like, you know, for so many years we have kind of been crippled or beholden to the white sort of version of who we are. And what's amazing about this show is all of the writers and all the creators of the show are Native. And so we weren't afraid to just be like, yo, like, we have interesting lives and we have interesting communities and we celebrate that and we tell it how it is. And I think that, like, having Indigenous creators and Indigenous directors, like, and writers, like, I think that they're just like, we were fearless in telling the story of who we are. And it's something that I've always wanted to do. It's something I've always strived to do in all of my work. It's just like, kind of like not censoring ourselves because we're afraid of what white America will think about us. It's celebrating the fact that we're different and that our communities are different. Like, that's the element that I feel like is different about this show.
And there's a lot of fun and laughter, and you really brought it forward in a good way.
And Sterlin, are there any moments that you would like to get listeners and viewers ready for when all of this is unleashed August 9th?
It's funny because I think that people aren't expecting to see this type of show. But when they see it, especially if they're Native, they're going to recognize it as like authentic and real to our experience. And the radical thing about it is it's not radical. It's normal. It's just our lives. And it's telling the truth about who we are. And it's not being afraid to show our sort of shortcomings or like flaws, but also celebrate our beauty and who we are, you know? And, and we live in an interesting time where like, our communities are so, you know, they're so diverse and they're so different, each one of them. And some of them are fractured and some of them, you know, we dealt with genocide and we had to deal with a lot of things to get to where we're at. And to be able to like celebrate that and not look at it in a sad way is beautiful. And, you know, like, you know, people spend times like making lists about who's not Indian or who's Indian or who's Indian enough. And like, you know, that's such a like, to me, like that's such a like waste of time of our resources and our bandwidth of who we are. It's like, no, like let's celebrate who we are.
And Sterlin also shared more. Here is some of what he said about the acting talent that was invited to participate in this series. Sterlin, you are introducing people to a cast of some young faces, yep, juxtaposed to some of the biggest names in our Native acting circle. And anything you want to say about that, of having both of those two sides of the age measurement in one room or in one space, all, acting yeah, off of like each all, other?
All I can say is it's about time. You know, like, what have we been doing? Like it's time to do that. You know, it's like, I'm of a generation that is not the older generation and it's not the younger generation. And I'm of a generation and we've been making independent films and we've been telling stories for a long time. And we've been making low budget independent films and no one's really paid attention that much. So to be able to have this opportunity, of course, we're going to bring in young Native actors and also give respect to those older Native actors and bring them in together and show what they can do together. You know, like for me, it's like letting people see how talented we are, because there's a lot of like blowback in Hollywood about like, oh, there's not enough Native actors, or like, oh, there's not enough good actors, whatever. Like, this show totally wrecks that whole idea. Like, you're gonna see first-time actors and young Native actors, and they're gonna be acting with like veterans in our community. And to be able to do that, that's part of the celebration of our community, is like letting them shine and show who we are and be together. And like, that's such a like beautiful thing to me, to be able to do that.
Sure. And Sterlin, I witnessed some of the veteran actors jumping into a certain kind of freedom that was kind of freeing. And anything totally. You want to share about those moments of letting our veterans loose?
Sure, man. It's like, you know, like, let's break the shackles. Like, we, our veterans are funny, man. Like, these guys, like, you know, and these women and guys, like, they're amazing actors. And they've been stuck doing roles where they don't necessarily get to show that. And to be able to, like, let them be funny and let them be free and let them be the amazing people that they are. Like, I just take pride in the fact that I got to do that, you know? And it's like, it's not radical because we all know how talented they are. I just gave them the opportunity to do it in the show that celebrates being Native, you know? And like, you know, like white people making films in Hollywood, they don't know how funny we are and how quirky we are and how hilarious we are and how dark we can be and whatever. And so to be able to do that, I was like, of course I'm going to do that. Like, let's bring in all of these like actors that I love and that I grew up with, you know? Like, I want to see them be funny. I want to see them be Native. I want to see them be who they are, not having to be some white guy's version of who they are, but to be Native in the way that they are, and like to be able to celebrate that. Like, I could feel it, you know, when I was working with them, like they really appreciated it. And so, you know, like, I mean, like, So on one hand, it's radical, but on the other hand, it's not radical because I'm just letting them be who they are.
Well, there you have it, the voice of Sterling Harjo, who is one of the showrunners for Reservation Dogs, which premieres August 9th. Today, we're giving you a preview of it, and we're going to talk with some of the folks who have been involved. But again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And you can also tune in to our website where you can hear our full interview with Sterling Harjo, NativeAmericaCalling.com. You know what? Let's meet one of the actors. On the line with us today out of Toronto, Ontario, is Oji Cree actor Defero Wunitai, who plays Bear Smallhill in Reservation Dogs. Defero, real quick, just go ahead and say hello to the folks and give them a good handshake.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, hear you well.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My apologies. Ani Bojo, the Ferro Masquad is Indigenous. I'm born and raised in Toronto, Ontario, but with family residing in the Big Trout Lake, or also known as KI Reservation, in Northern Ontario. And what's up, guys? Good to be here.
Well, Defero, I had a chance to see your acting ability, and congratulations. You have definitely inspired me, and it was really exciting to see your work in this series. And there's a lot of funny moments that that your supporting cast also provide great moments. And we're going to get deeper into, you know, just what it means to take on a role like this, especially in a breakthrough moment for a lot of Native actors and a lot of filmmakers and people who are helping all sides of the industry right now. And so I definitely want to get your take on it, as well as telling this story in the form that it's told. I'm really curious what it is you would like to say about all of this. And you know what? I am also extending the invitation for you to also reach out. You can talk with Defero by dialing in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we will continue to hear more about Reservation Dogs. There are plenty of people who are involved in this, including people who were behind the scenes, behind the camera, directing, as well as writing, and some pretty big names that you have come to know and love, and maybe have even heard on these airwaves. We'll tell you more about that. And this is also a chance for us to check in, too, of just where Native film is going and how far we've come. As you hear more about this project, we sure hope you'll dial in and share your thoughts. Just give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you are finding this in one of our podcasts or on the website, there's space for you too. You can leave your comments directly on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com, or you can tweet them to us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. I'm curious if you have heard about this series and what your hopes are for it. Again, join us right now by dialing 1-800-996-2848. Phone lines, they're open. Navajo writer Brian Young's debut novel, Healer of the Water Monster, features the story of Nathan, who encounters a holy being while visiting his grandmother. This meeting prompts him to become a helper. Join us for our July Book of the Month, where we'll hear more on how this character's courage aids him in facing what's ahead.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on StrongHeartsHelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are putting the spotlight on a new series that's debuting early next month, Reservation Dogs. It's going to be released on FX on Hulu. And have you heard about it? And what do you think about the plot? And we heard from Sterling Harjo earlier about what his hopes are for this project. And one by one, we're going to introduce you to different actors who are giving their talent to this project. Again, if you'd like to join us, you can give us a ring at 1-800-996-2848. You know what? Let's go ahead and take a call. We have Cindy on the line in Brooklyn, New York, tuned in online. Cindy, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
Hi, Tara. Yes, it's a pleasure to be here on Native America Calling. I'm really excited. I actually had the pleasure of seeing the first episode of Reservation Dogs at Tribeca Film Festival with the director, Sterling Harjo, and the cast. I'll have to say it is a phenomenal series. I only got to see one episode, but it definitely left me laughing and as well as jaw-dropping. So it's just very exciting to see not just that, the fact that there's Rutherford Falls and now Reservation Dogs, but to see the evolution of what television history has been for Indigenous people. You know, when it first started out like Lone Ranger and Broken Arrow in the 50s and 60s to what is happening right now is absolutely superb and amazing. And that is a huge congratulations to all those Native filmmakers that got to do it and doing now.
Well, Cindy, thank you for reaching out, giving us your thoughts on this. And you can share your thoughts, too, by calling 1-800-996-2848. And the series did get its world debut, I understand, at the Tribeca Film Festival. And maybe you were there, like Cindy. Give us a ring. Any thoughts? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And here with us on the line is lead actor DeFaro Wunatai, one of the lead actors who plays Bear Small Hill on Reservation Dogs. Thanks for being with us again. And DeFaro, go ahead, share your thoughts, what it means to be stepping into a role like this and maybe some of the things that went down and just looking back at all this. Go ahead, DeFaro, any thoughts?
Well, it was a very once-in-a-lifetime experience, to say at least. I mean, it was the first time ever that I got a chance to go to, travel into America for work, and also the first time I got to visit Oklahoma, which was amazing because Oklahoma is one of the most beautiful states I've ever been to, which I never been to all of them, but it was one of the most beautiful states I've ever been to, and the people there, the culture there, how many indigenous people, communities are living in there, sadly from what, you know, Trail of Tears and et cetera. But it was a whole... It was interesting because I got to learn a lot of history, stuff that I would never learn about up north or even breaking misconceptions about Oklahoma and the South in general or the central part of America in general. The script was amazing. When I first read it, I fell in love with it straight away. I remember first reading the audition tape, which was, two scenes of the first episode. And it, for those who won't see, I'm not going to talk about that, but talk about the scenes because I don't want to spoil anything. But just off of the people's dialogue and realizing that these are just normal people, like who we are, normal people, I fell in love with it right away. And it was definitely a different take because I've been doing auditions, acting since I was 16, and I'm turning 20 soon. And I've never seen any audition like Reservation Dogs and the idea of representation for Native people. I mean, like exactly what Sterling was talking about in his interview, the radical thing about this, that it's not radical at all, right? It's just something like who we are and showing who we are. So the fact that we get to show that and show that we're human people and honestly very funny people, it's an honor to be a part of. And it's sad that it's happening now, but I'm happy that it is. That's my answer to your question.
And DeFaro, set things up for us and tell us about the crew that you are rolling with in this series. Set up stuff a little for us. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, there's five of us in total. Bear Small Hill, Alora Dannon, Cheese, and Willie Jack. And there's also another member. His name is Daniel. And he was in the first episode, you guys were to see this. But really, it's about these kids who grew up in Oklahoma 1 year. Well, the show starts 1 year after their friend Daniel dies. And it shows really them going through the grief of trying to understand his death, trying to get out of that, what they think is an area they don't want to be or to grow up in, and they think it's toxic. And the idea of gold land being Oklahoma, I mean, not Oklahoma, California, like this whole dream state in their eyes. And really, it talks about all of us, really a family. I mean, we grew up all together, as in being the characters, all grew up all together in rural Oklahoma and Okmulgee, which we got to film there, which was an honor to have those communities accept us. And that's really just it. I mean, Laura Dannon's character, who's played by Devery Jacobs, she's the one, in a sense, who hit hardest with Daniel's death. I mean, because she was closest, they were around the same age compared to the rest of us, but she was closest to him than the rest of us. And he was really much the leader of this group of friends. I mean, I'm not going to go into more deeper stuff because I'll expose a lot of the future coming up episodes, but yes, but that's really it. I mean, she's who's Lane Factor, who plays him. He's like the little brother of the group. The thing with me and Laura Dannon is Bear Smallhill and Laura Dannon is they bump heads a lot trying to fill in that leadership space where they both feel like they should stand up in this time. But it's still family among them, no matter what happens in the upcoming episodes.
And DeFerro, just thinking that, you know, this kind of story is being presented and you are opening up the space of what it means to be a young Indigenous man. And when you got some of those lines, what were some of your thoughts? Did this really feel authentic?
I was unsure when I first read the first script because they didn't send me out the full script. They just sent me a few scenes. And I could definitely see the comedic part. I mean, with Taika Waititi, who's in it, who's writing in it and executive producer. And you can definitely see his style just when a few of those pages. But then when I was given the opportunity to read the full script, that was just the nail in the coffin for me, knowing that this was something different in the idea of representation. I mean, exactly like I'm going to keep on repeating. It's just who, like normal kids, you know, I'm trying to figure out ways to save up money in a place where they can't get jobs, or in a place where committing petty crimes gives them the quickest money just to get out of here. And seeing in the script, I can see a lot of resemblance with my own life, if that makes sense. Not criminal stuff. Let me just put that out there. Not criminal stuff, but the idea of wanting to find something better and realize and thinking that your place or your home is not where your community is, which a lot of them in later episodes will, you know. Never mind, I'm not going to bring that up, but you'll see. You'll see in the future episodes.
Sure. And if folks are wondering, this launches, again, August 9th. And so we're giving a preview and just hearing from some of the folks, you know, what they think about this project. The name of it is Reservation Dogs. And many people are wondering about the title. And when I had a chance to talk with Sterling, he said that a lot of people think that it's a remake of Reservoir Dogs, and he said, actually no, it's very different, of course, because who's involved in this, but it's kind of paying tribute to films like that and in true Tarantino style of bringing in other projects and making commentary with the work that he's doing. Sterling is doing some of that, and his analogy is it's more closer to the movie Friday than it is Reservoir Dogs. And so pretty interesting. And DeFerro, I appreciate you telling us a little bit about your role. And also here too, out of Oklahoma City, is Mike Bone. And it is, they are the rap duo made up of Lil Mike and Funny Bone. And both of these gentlemen are from the Pawnee Nation. And they are also featured in the film too. And so let's go ahead and bring them in. With us today is Lil Mike and Funny Bone. Gentlemen, welcome. And Lil Mike, I'll start off with you. And I gave that analogy of Friday. And when people think of that movie, it's kind of about a view into the neighborhood. And you gentlemen play a kind of a critical role in keeping the neighborhood connected. And so, Lil Mike, I'll start with you. Anything you want to say?
Hello. In Pawnee is Noah. And I'm Lil Mike. I'm the older brother of the duo Mike Bone. And this whole reservation dogs thing is just, it's needed in the Native American community for the representation of now indigenous people. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who are tired of seeing cowboys and Indians. And speaking from city natives, which we are, we were proud to see something like this put together where it's just like, okay, let's bring it up to date and show people that we're not stuck in teepees and stuff like that.
And Funny Bone, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'm Funny Bone. I'm the younger brother of Mike Bone, and we're from the Pawnee Nation, Oklahoma City, born and raised, and just the show, it's an honor to be a part of this show. Reservation Dog is going to be epic, and I do think it's going to be a lot like Boys in the Hood, just a native version. Maybe even Friday, yeah, the movie Friday, like a native version of that.
I know that's piquing quite some interest. You gentlemen definitely help with the comic relief. And anything you want to share about just Native humor and how it's let loose in this project? Funny Bone, go ahead, start us off.
Yeah, they kind of gave us free range to throw in our little, our little ideas, spin on it, our little ideas here and there, but I think it really captured the Native humor, the Native sense of humor. From people going to powwows, you can kind of tell when the powwow announcers telling certain types of jokes, stuff like that, and just real life stories from different reses. So it's going to be all included in the show. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so people will have a chance to basically be like, that happened on my res.
And Lil Mike, how long have you been waiting to say something like that about a film?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's been a minute. Like, when we first fell in love with our culture, because we're from the city, we wasn't always, you know, around our culture. And when we fell in love with it, when we started seeing indigenous people on screen or in sports, we would flip out. We would be like, they're native. Yeah. Or that's a native actor. And, you know, it just I feel like that in itself will bring other city natives who aren't in love with their culture to fall in love with their culture.
Yeah, it gave us something to be proud about.
I hear you. And I also feel a strong sense of community from the narrative that this project brings forward. And for both of you, is there anything you want to share about how important community is and maybe even how we're seeing it in this series? Lil Mike?
Yeah, the community, I feel like, is I would say in the show and behind the scenes, it felt like home. And with a community, you want to feel at home. You don't want to feel like you're by yourself. And it just felt at home with how every person was almost like indigenous working on the film. Like, I mean, there are some other people there, but I mean, you know, we have a saying, me and Funny Bone, we actually have a song about it. So once you go native, you never hate it. And basically in that song, we're talking about, you know, once you fall in love with the native culture, you're never going to go back. So
yeah,
it was kind of like that. Like even the non-indigenous people that were volunteering or whatever on set, were falling in love with a culture that probably wasn't their own, and it was a beautiful thing to see. And I feel like this show is going to do that for other people too.
And what about the storyline? Is there anything you'd like to share about moments where you really felt like, yeah, this could be my life as a Native person? Funny Bone?
I guess, I mean, yeah, there was different things in the episode. We can't really give out too much, but we did get into trouble as kids.
And I would say the drive-by.
The drive-by scene, if you've seen it in the trailer. We joked about it, and that's something we kind of got used to growing up in the city and doing, like, different concerts at house parties and stuff. There would be drive-bys and then hanging out, like, in the hood. There would be drive-bys, and we always got kind of associated with being around drive-bys. So I guess we can kind of apply it to that.
And yeah, and we always had jokes to tell about after. So, I mean, it was basically a stress reliever for us as boys from the hood or from the res or whatever. Because we said the city is our reservation. But, just, you know, having a comical sense is a relief.
Yeah. For sure. And I think, you know, comedy, and we hear this all the time on the program, and anytime we turn it towards that side of storytelling that we, you know, and we're even taught this in our communities, that humor is healing, and humor got us through the hardest times in our histories. And I think we're seeing some of that with this project as well. And so we introduced you to a couple more people who are on this project. If you'd like to talk to any of them, go ahead and give us a ring. We are spotlighting the TV series Reservation Dogs, which is coming out on FX on Hulu. And so we'll learn more coming up after the break, but there is space for you. Go ahead and dial in 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And if you have any questions of what it means to open up a story like this in this day and age, I sure hope you will ask away. And filmmakers, if you are out there, writers, actors, and you'd like to weigh in, phone lines are open.
Are you a Native American entrepreneur? Have a business solution for an issue like racial equity or critical infrastructure? The Indian Loan Guarantee and Insurance Program is a federal program helping private lenders make the business loan you need. They support most businesses, whether starting up or expanding. Information available by emailing dci@bia.gov. That's dci@bia.gov. The Division of Capital Investment supports this show.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and there is still time to join our show today. You can give us a ring and share your thoughts on the series, Reservation Dogs. It's coming out. What kind of things have you heard about it? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And another actor who we've invited to join us today comes to us out of North Iowa. With us is Sten Jotty. He's a tattoo artist, musician, rapper, actor, and entrepreneur, and he is Muscogee Creek from Oklahoma. Our pleasure to have him here with us. Sten Jotty, welcome to Native America Calling.
Kinch Jay, Estongo, Sten Jotty, Jaha Jeff Kados. Yeah, my people are of the Arbica stompgrounds, and my family are from Wetumpka, Oklahoma. I was born and raised there. I actually grew up in Glenpool, ran around in Tulsa and Okmulgee. So I'm from right where the show is depicting, and I'm just honored and, like, really excited to be a part of this project. Being a first-time actor, this will be my debut, so this will be interesting, and it's really awesome to be a part of it. You know, coming up in Oklahoma as a Native kid in a somewhat city environment, but still kind of, you know, country resi. And we had all the elements coming up around there. So I can definitely relate to all these kids in this show, if not pretty much one of those kids is me in that show, you know. So when I heard about it a long time ago, a few years ago before the pandemic, when they were just kind of getting it started, I was just behind the project 150% then. And, you know, the creator and the universe puts you in certain situations, and the opportunity arose, a casting call came, and I answered it from Mid-Thunder Casting. Shout out Mid-Thunder Casting. And you know, got to talk to Sterling after I did the reading for the audition, and they all loved it. You know, I was kind of nervous. Again, I'm not an actor per se, so this is the first time I get to do this. But I thought, hey, let's do it, man. You know, what can be more authentic than, you know, a Muscogee Creek on a TV show about Muscogee Creeks, you know?
Nahe, nahe.
And again, you are tuned in to Native America Calling. Thank you for joining us. And I go back to our chat with Sten Jotty. And Sten, being able to see this kind of representation, you know, gives folks another view into our Native lives. And for you, how important is it that all aspects of our Native lives, whether they be a little bit gritty, are shown in narratives, especially ones that are going out, you know, around the world? Anything you want to share about that?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, in 2021, you know, I agree with Sterling and the rest of the guys, you know, that this is a point where, you know, we get to tell our own stories from our own perspectives. And whether or not our communities are all different, I'm pretty sure, you know, when you watch this show, kind of like Mike Bone and them said that, you know, you're going to be able to say, hey, man, that happened on my res, or maybe that happened to me, or you're going to be able to relate to one of these kids and or one of those characters on the show, period. And I also feel like it's very important for non-Indigenous people to watch this show. It's not only great for our youth to see ourselves on TV, which I didn't have when I was a kid, and probably every other Indigenous person that's over 30 or 25 even, you know, didn't have this, you know. So it's like, for all the young generation to be able to have that on their TV or access to something like this is going to be crazy awesome. And for non-Indigenous people, I think it's gonna be able to show, you know, us in this modern light. You know, there's definitely those roles that are typecast, you know, for Indigenous people. And this is definitely showing that, you know, we're just regular humans. And like they said, you know, it's radical, but it's not, because it's just us. And it's not you know, somebody else's version of who we are. And I feel like it's been a long time coming. And I definitely feel Sterling when he says, you know, what have we been doing? And, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm just glad that I am where I'm at in my age. You know, I'm 38 and I get to see this. I have three daughters, you know, and I'm happy for them to be able to see things like this, you know, for their generation to be able to say, hey, you know, see themselves, you know, and again, also with the non-Indigenous to be able to humanize us in their eyes that, you know, they can relate to one of these characters. Even if they're not Indigenous, they're probably going to be able to say, man, that, you know, that's me or that's happened to me too. And I think that's a great thing that Sterling and Taika Waititi and all the directors and all the writers of this show are really honing in on that, that we do come from diverse communities where it's not just Indigenous people, it's not just white people, it's not just Black people or the Mexican community or the Asian community. We're, you know, it's we're all there and we all have these similar stories. And I'm just glad that, you know, it's finally coming out that we can tell those stories, you know?
Sure, they are important, and we know our stories carry us through many different times. Well, Stenjati, you play the role of DeFaro's character, Bear Smallhill. You play his father, and your role is a rapper, which I'm sure you were able to jump into pretty easy. And definitely look forward to, you know, just hearing people's reactions to some of the story that you are presenting in this, too. And also here, too, on the line out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is filmmaker, writer, and director Black Horse Low. He directed episode 3 and 5 of Reservation Dogs, and he is Dene. Our pleasure to have him here for another Native America Calling. Black Horse, welcome.
Yate, thank you for having me. Shea, Black Horse Low, Yunushia, Shehina Slint, Kachini Bushes Chin, Deshin Shachedo, Nanashed, Deshinella. Originally from the Navajo Nation. I'm currently in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Tulsa Artist Fellowship. So thank you for having me today.
Well, our pleasure to have you here. And something that when I had a chance to talk with Sterling, he talked about, you know, kind of offering a hand up to those who are also in this industry. And he mentioned your name, too, of why it was important to pull up other people who are, you know, making film or being able to write and bringing in so much Native talent. And he said that of Taika Waititi as well, of how that came to be. And again, folks, if you'd like to hear that full interview, you can find it on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. And with that said, Black Horse, being able to be on a project where so much was led, you know, from, you know, from the showrunner all the way down to the actors and the writers, and then you're pulled in to be a director. I'd like to hear your thoughts on something like this.
Oh, no, yeah, most definitely. Well, it's a huge thanks to Taika and Sterling. Like, I've known them since our first years at Sundance when we were first starting out their short films and our first features. So I've known them for more than, like, 15 years now. So I consider them more than brothers. So I'm very thankful to have them in my life, thankful to that they gave me this opportunity to, you know, have the responsibility to direct 2 of their episodes. And, you know, they've seen my work throughout the years, and I've seen their work throughout the years, so they're very familiar with what I can do. And plus, I've worked with Sterling on various projects of his documentaries and his feature films, either as a camera operator, as an editor, or just a supporter. So I'm always happy to come back to Oklahoma and just, you know, give him my full support because his work is original and it's different. And it's heartwarming, it's funny, and it's all the really good things. And he really, you know, he's all about his community and his people and just all about Oklahoma. So it's just like I'm back that 100%. And along with Taika, I mean, he helped Sterling, you know, have the opportunity at FX to get this show made. And Sterling likewise helped out the rest of his friends, me, Sidney Freeman, Tazen Chavez, and, you know, other directors and writers to get this opportunity to kind of just level up and get into a different playing field other than the independent film world where, you know, the budgets are smaller and there's so much more constraints, but he brought us to a level where we actually have a proper budget and the ability to really show what we can do and within our directing styles or writing styles or acting styles or what have you. So it's really great to, you know, be given this opportunity to be extremely creative and just like, you know, given the tools and the finances, but also the the actors in order to really, you know, express ourselves and really tell these original cool stories. So I'm just very appreciative of it. But I've been directing for probably 15 plus years now on various projects, documentaries, my own feature films, which are like three. I direct three of my own along with various short films. So I've put in my time, and I'm thankful for Sterling and Taika for giving me this opportunity.
And Black Horse, what was it like being in the director's seat and you know, holding a script that was written by Native people and then directing Native actors and knowing that the big, you know, the big name in this or the person who was the showrunner was also a Native person? I'd like to know what that experience is like.
Well, this is my first time actually in directing for television, so I'm probably extremely spoiled because I'm basically surrounded by family and friends. So it's just like, you know, what better way to enter into this next level of like the industry than to like, you know, be supported by your friends and have your friend be the showrunner. So it's like, you know, there's so much more support. So I'm extremely spoiled because coming off of independent feature films, which I either self-financed or was running the camera, picking up actors, or, you know, just taking care of all the other, had to wear many hats in my previous work in order to get my films made. And it was nice to come into this where there was actually financial support and a full crew and cast that were professional and just like, you know, everything was taken care of with like all the different financing and everything else. So it was just like, it was so much of a pleasure for me. I would, given the ability to just focus purely on directing and watching and helping the actors craft the performances and just really thinking more about the narrative and the stories that were given to me, especially by Sterling and the writers that they came up with. So just about elevating the material that they had already laid down and just like working with the actors and help them to be the best they could be. And just like really working with the other crew members and the art director to the production designer, to the director of photography, and us all really collaborating and making the best things that we could make. So it was really a joy to be on this set and just to work with this group of people that was extremely dedicated to the show and just very happy to be on this film set, because this projects like this don't come along all the time. Like, they're very rare. So it was just nice to feel like support and love through this, all the efforts that we are making, and just like we're making something that's going to last forever and something that really is defining for Indigenous cinema, for Indigenous people, and, you know, to really shake up the industry and finally show people what Native people are, what we're capable of, and, like, how great storytellers we are, how funny we are, how tragic we are. But, you know, to combine all those things and make something completely new and different. I'm just starting to ramble now. I'm not sure if that answered the question or not.
Well, you know what? We are getting close to the end of the hour, and I definitely would like to just spend some time talking about the humor that is in this series. And, you know, humor, it's all about timing, and it seems like the time is just right in this series. And Black Horse, is there anything you want to share about the humor that's shared in this series?
Oh, the humor is fantastic. Well, because we're speaking about the previous question about the actors and everyone else, I mean, getting to work with people like the Pharaoh, Devery Lane, and then Paulina, but also like working with Zahn McLarnon and Kirk Fox, and then also Wes Studi and Gary Farmer. Like, you know, these are all very gifted and talented actors. So their timing and just like comedic responses are just like fantastic. So it was just beautiful to see how they work and just, you know, collaborating with them, especially working with guys like Wes and Gary, who are, you know, these veterans of Indigenous cinema and actors. So they've always played all these other kind of stereotypical parts in some other white films, but in this series, they're giving the opportunity to really kind of show their comedic skills and their comedic timing, which is fantastic. I mean, if you think of like something like Wes, like the first time I saw him was Power Highway, and he had a small part, but he was hilarious in that. So I got to direct him in episode 5. So just to get to him, see him come alive with the material, but also the comedic material of it too, was just like so unique, because it's very much an Indian country type of humor, but it's also something that translates to other cultures as well too. So like, it is awesome to give them that ability to just be themselves, be goofy, and just be extreme. Especially with Gary Tube and character that he plays, I think you saw that episode, and just like giving him a flashback and kind of giving him like these almost an action star type vibe in terms of the stuff he had to do, and like wearing a mullet and just, you know, being a stoner and whatnot. Like, it took all these new edges and these new places that you wouldn't see. And in terms of Native humor, it really goes to some dark places, which is hilarious because that's usually where I like to, where my realm is. So it was nice to bring in those touches there, but it's just, it's overall, it's just funny and it's touching and it's, you know, it's all good things.
Well, thank you for that. Yep, Gary does a great job in this. And you know what? That's just the first part. That's the preview. It's premiering August 9th. And we want to know your take. Once you get a chance to see it, we sure hope you will reach out. You can send all your thoughts to us, comments at NativeAmericaCalling.com. Thank you to everybody we heard from on this program. And we're inviting you back tomorrow. It's our book of the month, and we'll be taking a look at Healer of the Water Monster by Brian Young. I'm Tara Gatewood.
The Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention remind you, receiving the COVID-19 vaccination protects you, your family, and your community, and urge you to please contact your tribal or urban clinic to get your COVID-19 vaccination if you haven't already. More information at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus, who support this show.
Tadanastasi, din teski, din anelo huski, untoti, di dolski, ale a yelenudan dega gushlai, higoli ya at insurekidsnow.gov, with tetlanoheta 1-877-543-7669, he agetanosa Medicare, ale Medicaid, unadoshka.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.